The views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the host and may not necessarily be the views or opinions of this station, its management, sponsors, or staff. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on The Mitch Hanks Show.
As we're getting information trickling in about health care, Republicans want to bring in more health savings accounts, and they want to do more in the way of repealing the fine for having insurance. But they haven't really figured out the going across state lines part. And we have a lot of government spending in this with refundable tax credits for people to buy insurance when Medicaid people can be too poor to buy anything. And so there's all kinds of consternation developing, and a lot of Republicans don't want to go on camera and talk about it yet because they haven't resolved their differences inside the House. Doug Zach-Laban from Club for Growth joins me now. There's a chorus of people on the right. They want this repealed, period, and then work on it later. Hello, Mr. Zach-Laban.
Hey, Mitch, how you doing?
I'm fine. Are you in that camp, by the way, just repeal first and ask questions later?
Well, I mean, we think anything with repeal needs to come with the free market ideas that Republicans have put forth for a long time so that people see that it's not simply repeal and then hope for the best, but that there's actual solutions that go along.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Some people have no money, so they can't really participate in the market, which usually demands that you have some money. So on that score, whether it's $23 million or whatever the case, would you support just letting them fend for themselves, or would let them go into the states where expanded block grants for Medicaid could handle it, or subsidize at-risk pools? What do you think?
Probably a little bit of the latter, too, both the block grants back to states and letting states have more of a role in this with individuals who are at that poverty limit, and also at-risk pools. I mean, we think that anytime you can move some of the money or keep some of the money back at the state levels, you probably are going to get more efficient solutions rather than just something coming out of D.C. What we're seeing, at least in terms of this proposal, keeps a whole lot of the status quo, including the Medicaid expansion, to be debated at the next presidential election.
Oh, that's true. Well, I guess some of the consternation right now is that there's an anticipation that a big chunk of the 20-plus million who are on insurance now that weren't before will be dropped. And to that, you say what?
I think Republicans have put forth ideas that make it possible. And the argument is always between access to having the opportunity to put money in toward health care. Clearly, there's always going to be a safety net, and that's why Medicaid has existed. But when you start moving above that, what we've seen is probably a lack of testing, of means testing, of looking into a lot of the fraud and a lot of the folks who take advantage of the system as well. Jason Chaffetz from out of Utah is being bashed today for questioning, if people should consider buying the latest version of the iPhone or put money into healthcare. And it, obviously, that's an argument that from a free market point of view makes sense. You've got to choose your priorities as to where you're going to put your dollars. And so anything that encourages good free market competition and forces people to make good choices with their dollars is probably an improvement.
That goes to a cultural divide, because you're in the area that says, hey, individuals should be responsible, and Jason Chaffetz saved for healthcare and not a smartphone. But there's another belief that Americans are way too impulsive. They can't save any money. That's one of the reasons why we have Social Security in the first place, and that if we relied on this health savings accounts model in too broad a fashion, we would be encouraging disaster because Americans can't be trusted with their own lives. I mean, and that's pretty much the debate. I mean, but it's also got a lot of truth in it because they're probably not all responsible like you are.
It's a fair argument, Mitch, and it does reflect the fact that we've gotten to this place where government solutions are seen as the best alternatives, which is a sad case. I mean, just looking at how these have worked, how, frankly, Social Security has been administered in terms of the trust fund, how the Obamacare has run, it does... Government is not a good caretaker of these things and ultimately wastes an awful lot of money and shows a lot of inefficiency. But unfortunately, getting back to what you've pointed out, it does get to the nub of a cultural problem, which is trying to convince people that you do better having some money in your pockets than the government being your safety net to hopefully come through somehow and bail you out.
Right. Well, then on that front, would we not be better off just encouraging this dual system where people who are in the market and are fairly healthy can shop around for the best deal, and the people who are without money and who are hopelessly at risk can be subsidized, but all the while growing the economy to the point where we can encourage those in that second group to improve and empower themselves by economic opportunity. And what else can you do?
Yeah. No, that's fair, and I think that's where it comes down to. If you can move some of this back to the state level, you can put some of those expectations in place, whether it's coupled with job training or other incentives that you know can help people to move in their lot in life and make an effort, whether it's even drug testing on for benefits. I mean, things that states have a better track record of being able to do because the money's closer to home and they have to balance their budgets in the end, unlike the federal government. There's a greater sense of responsibility for what's done at that level.
We have criticism from the right on this, from Rand Paul and others, saying it's Obamacare light. The federal government is still insisting on certain mandates that insurance must cover certain things. There isn't total freedom there. And that you're still going to be subsidizing people heavily, whether it's refundable tax credits or whatever else. There's that hard right opposition to funding other people's health care, which is kind of the basis of Obamacare, is it not?
It is. And I think a lot of that comes back to that same efficiency argument. If people felt like it was kept at a pure bottom line safety net sort of situation for people who were truly in need, I don't think you'd see the frustration, but when you see people, you know, from the working class on up who lose their health insurance coverage or the plan that they had or now pay twice as much and twice as high deductible in order to shift that responsibility or the wealth of that over to someone else to help them with health care, I think that's what's frustrating people is we can't find a better way to broaden competition and choice and try to make it so that health insurance is more competitive in general.
And by the way, when you take away the fines for people who don't have insurance, which is the proposal that I'm reading and the intent of the Republicans, doesn't that then even undermine further the incentive for young people to get insurance?
It does. And you know, that puts I think the thing that they've maintained is a fine of like, I forget if it's a 30% fine that would go back to the, if you leave your insurance company and go to and let yourself lapse and then try to get new insurance, you'd have to pay something.
Well, yeah, and that's even worse because, you know, we've talked about that, right?
Right.
I mean, there are probably reasons why people who are in between jobs or who are laid off or, you know, which happens every day by corporate cuts or whatever, there's a reason why they're letting things lapse because they have to pay rent, and I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, if you've got rent as a choice versus in buying groceries or paying the amount for Obamacare and putting the down payment toward that with that amount followed every month, chances are you'll choose rent and food first.
Yeah, and I think even most conservatives will argue if that's actually the case, if somebody's at the end and that's the choice they have to make.
Well, or just in between is what happens. I mean,
right.
People get dislocated. Yeah.
Right. It's the mentality that says, you know, I'm going to choose a bunch of other stuff before I bother worrying about my health insurance because I know that the government will be there to...
And let's face it, cable has to come first, too, Doug. I mean, you have certain, you know, especially with the tournament starting. I mean, come on.
Well, You know, it'd be hard to give that up. We've had that budget discussion at our house.
Well, I mean, I'm constantly amazed. Oh, we don't have cable. Well, these are people who don't care about basketball. Let's face it. I mean, but, you know, it's fine. People make choices. No, but I mean, I think my feeling, and we'll come back after the break here, but Donald Trump is really not ideological, but he is a businessman, and he can count, and he sees models and is how to read spreadsheets. I think he will jump into action as the negotiator that he thinks he is here and maybe try to build some coalitions that go across party lines. Your thoughts on that coming back? Doug Suck-Laban of Club for Growth talking about what to do about Obamacare in a moment. The Mitch Hanks Show at MadisonTalks.com.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing on a summer night. It's pajamas with feet and everybody over for Sunday dinner. And that old stuffed chair in the living room you just can't get rid of. This is why you work a second job. This is why you learn to fix things yourself, so you can save on repairs. Because home is your place, your memories, your family sleeping in their own beds at night. And that is why we want to help. We are Making Home Affordable, a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. And now even more options are available. Call 888-995-HOPE today. That's 888-995-HOPE. Or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. We'd like to remind you that every day right here, 11 to noon, right after the Mitch Hanks Show, we present Wide World of Radio. I'm your host, Bob Abella, and I pay tribute to the stars of radio's golden age. Today we present part one of an in-depth review of Glenn Miller's career, with appearances by Gene Krupa, Benny Goodman, Milton Berle, Ed Sullivan, Guy Lombardo, Eddie Cantor, Kate Smith, and many others. Don't miss Wide World of Radio right here, right after the Mitch Hanks Show, today, 11 to noon.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hanks has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Hey, there he is. How's it going?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you going to shake my hand or what?
I'm having a stroke.
Wow, you're not even moving your arm.
I'm having a stroke.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Doug Zaglavin, Club for Growth, talking about Obamacare, and there certainly is a huge amount of push and support for reform so that it's more competitive and it's less costly. On that score, healthcare went up a lot in the years prior to Obamacare. In fact, as you know, some of the architects will argue that the growth has been less since. On that point, on score, what do you say, by the way, when they say that?
Yeah, I mean, what we've seen is still an increase, and it's a typical sort of Washington argument that the increase has been less. When you go back to the fundamental campaign argument of then-candidate Obama, that people would see a $2,500 reduction in the cost of their health insurance, we've come nowhere near that. We've swung the other way. But the fact that there have been perhaps less use of the healthcare system, and that's reduced some of the overall spending on healthcare.
Right. That's a mixed bag, because I've heard people say that, yeah, because the delivery of healthcare to the patient costs have not slowed. The overall cost has slowed, because you know, you can argue that how you want, but yeah.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you made a point before the break that I couldn't agree with you more, that and that is that it'll be fascinating to watch President Trump in all of this, because you're right, there's not the ideological mooring. We've seen candidate Trump speak of, you know, government paid for health care quite freely on the campaign trail, and even as president has expressed clear statements of making sure that everybody's covered in some way. This will be a test of his negotiating skill when you've got large segments of the conservative side of the party saying that this is a non-starter, and the more moderate section saying this is the only way we can do this.
Well,
he's going to have to step in.
Name me a Freedom Caucus member who wants to get rid of Medicaid. I mean, come on. I mean, do we really want to say publicly, well, if you don't have insurance, then go back in the street where you belong? I mean. And the lines have to be set in reasonable places, don't they, on this, Doug?
Yeah, and I don't think any are saying that as much as they've said all along. You know, going back to, frankly, Paul Ryan, when he was putting forth some good budgets, the argument of block granting back to the states and saying, we are going to set some limits on this, and you're going to have to be efficient, and people are going to have a certain amount of money that's government provided, and then they're going to have to contribute themselves beyond that. So I think Republicans have always been strong on that point, that personal responsibility, but the safety net that exists for those who truly need it.
Well, that's true. I just think that most people in polls would not want people with no money to be uncared for and just go to the ER. So you start there, and you can still pursue massive reforms and introduce market forces. And also this idea that the federal government should dictate and mandate what insurance must be provided or must cover kind of defeats the whole purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Once you've set for insurance companies the exact product that they must sell, then the price, there is no opportunity then to try to compete or compare or run a health savings account where you can use for your basic appointments and have a major medical policy in case something goes wrong. One thing, just to note, Mitch, on this, that this current proposal does not include the selling of health insurance across state lines. The argument on that is, well, we've got this going through the Senate under certain rules, so we can get it by in 51 votes. It's called reconciliation, the process, so we can't really include that. We've argued, listen, if you're saying that you're going to put government money into subsidies, and you believe, as Republicans have said, selling across state lines will save money, then there is a cost savings here that fits within reconciliation rules. So let's put some of these free market ideas in this first bill. Let's not do the first bill and then hope we can come around on some of these other ideas again later.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know it's going to be phased in various sections, but the people who scream loudest at these hearings have the most to lose. It's always the way it is. People show up at hearings when they want something or they're afraid of losing something. Will we have 156 million Americans that are insured through work? You know, I wonder how, you know, I would guess a lot of those people really haven't seen many big changes in their insurance. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and it was interesting because the first Republican leaked proposal a week or two ago was talking about taking or at least capping that exclusion that employers and employees get for their, you know, health coverage being tax-free, and by capping that, then recouping the government, taking some of that money and counting it more as income. And I suspect you would have seen a pretty strong outcry had that been the case.
Well, yeah, but getting back to the basic point, I mean, this idea that you should get it through work and that work should deduct it instead of having individuals benefit from those deductions and have individuals detached from their employer. I mean, to me, if you don't do that, what's the point? I mean, if you want to overhaul the system, overhaul the system.
Right. No, that's a good point. And it should be. If we're going to make those and the equity argument there is if you're going to make that deduction on the employer provided, you should provide the same similar deduction on the individual side, or just eliminate it altogether if you're going to ultimately get back to a tax code that doesn't have all of the loopholes and gimmicks in it as well.
The final thought, Trump, his bonding with his crowds, if I think he wants to take care of people, you know, whether it's not touching entitlements, as he said repeatedly in the stump, given their actuarial Armageddon facing us here, or the same thing with Medicaid type stuff. He's the Father Flanagan of his supporters. Isn't that, I mean, that's what I'm thinking he's going to be doing here. He might want to go be the businessman on your insurance or somebody else's insurance. But am I wrong to say that, I mean, the man is not a conservative on this stuff?
No. Well, that's exactly it. You know, it was funny. This morning, the news was showing him appearing to a group of visitors at the White House as they've resumed some of the tours at the White House.
Yeah, right.
And that he lights up. Clearly, the crowd and appealing and pleasing a crowd is something that, you know, we've all known all along as candidate that he does. And that'll be the strain here for conservatives with a very populist president who enjoys making sure that everybody's happy in some way, trying to find something that's fiscally responsible is going to be another challenge.
Yeah, if he, I haven't seen him much since his tweets on Saturday. Has he even been seen in public since then? I don't remember seeing him. Except
yeah, I think this morning was it. I think that was the first glimpse. Yeah,
he wanted some friendly faces.
He made a crowd happy.
They're too young to do Twitter, apparently. So, Doug Zagleben, we appreciate it very much, Club for Growth. Give me the website if you want to check more things out.
Sure, Mitch. It's clubforgrowth.org, clubforgrowth.org.
Clubforgrowth.org. There you go. Well, thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mitch.
All right. Take care. Now, the Beauty and the Beast, the boycott of the gay scene, coming up on The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company, continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads, and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bobabella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bobabella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary.
New Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. It can be a dangerous world out there. Vaccine safety rumors brought polio back to Africa. Children in Europe and here in America are once again suffering from measles. Don't let misinformation about vaccines put our children at risk. Protect your family from preventable diseases. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Vaccines save lives. Thank you.
This message is brought to you by Every Child by Two and the American Academy of Pediatrics. For more information, log on to vaccinateyourbaby.org or aap.org.
My sister Katie and I love to shop.
Well, mostly window shop.
She means we're thorough.
She means we're bargain hunters.
Exactly.
But my sister Kelly showed me an article that made me change a really bad habit.
Just wanting us to do what's right.
You see, at one time, I just couldn't stay away from those bargain knockoffs. You know, the handbags and scarves sold on the street.
Counterfeit merchandise?
Ooh. You make it sound so illegal.
Well, it is stealing.
Ouch. I wouldn't steal. I didn't realize that this sort of stealing can lead to more Americans losing their jobs.
So, no more buying fakes and knockoffs, right?
Right. Just honest bargain hunting.
Now you're talking.
Remember, counterfeits hurt, but you have the power to stop them. To learn more, go to www.ncpc.org/get real. That's ncpc.org/get real. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council, the Bureau of Justice Assistance, U.S. Department of Justice.
It's important to plan ahead for emergencies, like the storm. When it kicked in, we had a plan. We were able to get in touch with each other in no time.
I had no idea how to find each other.
My husband kept the kids occupied.
Our son, but there was no reception. Everything was down.
I felt like we handled everything very well.
I had to try and stay calm.
The whole experience was fine.
It was the most frightening 10 hours of my life.
It was kind of like a little family adventure.
Our hopes will never happen to her.
I remember the relief of being together.
I realized he was out there all alone.
If there's one piece of advice I'd offer other moms out there, it's to stay calm and keep to the plan.
Some parents plan ahead. Some don't. Make sure you know where to find your family in an emergency. Start your plan at ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Now we feast on the controversy of the day. Beauty and the Beast, live action, meaning real people in the movie coming out with a gay scene, apparently. And now we have people threatening boycotts. Christians upset. George called already about it yesterday on the show. And we have the Stream staff writer with us, Liberty McCarter, who makes the point, along with the colleagues, that Disney's been sexualizing characters for a long time. Perhaps the boycott is misplaced. Hello, Liberty.
Hi, Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Sure thing. So what is your basic argument against the reaction to the gay scene or the gay characters?
Well, my basic point is that I understand that people are upset that there's going to be a gay character apparently in the new Beauty and the Beast, but this really isn't anything new. I mean, you can look back at old movie Disney movies and the Disney princesses that are really only their characters are 16 or 15 years old, and they're hypersexualized, completely focused on romance, and these are movies aimed at little kids. And so Disney's a secular company, and, you know, gay pride is at the forefront of secular culture, so I just think it's natural to expect Disney to continue to focus on, you know, romance and sexualization, but now that's going to include a gay character. So for me, this is really nothing new.
Well, the characters in the past, when you say nothing is new, were they all heterosexual characters?
That's true, but then you have to, again, look at the past, and gay culture really wasn't that popular in the past. Not to say that it didn't exist at all, but at the time that a lot of these older Disney princess movies came out, it was, you know, the sexy female figure and the Playboy magazine. That was kind of the edginess. And you don't think, I'm not saying that the Disney princesses were evil and you don't necessarily think of them that way, but they really were hypersexualized, and a lot of people started to realize that. And so for a while, Disney was coming out with movies like Brave or Frozen, where the main characters weren't focused on romance. Their bodies were a little bit more realistic for, you know, the age that they were supposed to be portraying. So now that Disney is coming out with the Beauty and the Beast, and apparently there's a gay character, it seems like they're kind of focusing on romance again, but they're, reflecting that that gay pride that's now in the culture. So
Liberty, as you know, social conservatives don't care about heterosexual romance, but they do care about gay scenes. You're quite aware of that, aren't you?
Oh, of course. And but I'm just saying, you know, the social conservatives and Christians need to recognize that Disney, as a secular company, is only going to be expected to reflect secular culture. So maybe the way to go about this isn't boycotting Disney over the presence of a gay character, but to maybe ask Disney to start making movies like Brave or Frozen, where the focus isn't on romance, because whether it's a hypersexualized princess,
don't do sexualized themes, I guess is your point, right?
Right, because I mean, little kids, that's not what defines them. That's not what they need to be thinking about. You know, those should be topics that their parents talk with them about anyway. So why have it at all?
Just leave it out. Yeah, I know what you're saying. All right, let's go to the phones, because as you can imagine, Liberty, it's kind of a controversial topic. 210-1667, 210-1667. Hello, George.
I'm so glad that when Walt made Dumbo in the 40s or 50s, the flying elephant with the big ears, that he knew that the homosexuality is much more popular. I mean, she blew me out of the water. Where's she from? New York City?
Don't talk to her in the second person. She got a name. Her name is Liberty, for God's sake, George.
Oh, Liberty. She's on here now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now that homosexuality is so popular, you said, Liberty. So, I mean, it's like not in our world. It's not.
Well, okay, you're questioning. Are you questioning the level of popularity in the culture, George? Obviously, you are. Go ahead, Liberty.
Yeah, and I would just like to point out, I'm a social conservative. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, personally. And I am from Texas, so not from New York. And my point, and I understand that Christians are upset about, you know, the influence that might have to have a gay character in a movie when they believe that homosexuality is a sin, as do I. But since Disney is secular, they don't have the foundation for those beliefs that we do. If it was a Christian company, it would definitely be upsetting that they would be featuring a gay character.
I think Walt was a Christian.
Why not Walt?
Walt would be rolling in his grave right now, knowing that my grandkids are not, my daughter, thank God for her, is not going to allow, and a lot of her friends are not going to allow their kids to go see this, because they're six-year-olds. And how these people, their agenda, are cramming it down our throats, Disney can just has to be hitting the pocketbook like Target and these other big companies that have been taken over by the gay liberal alliance or whatever they call
it. Liberty, I don't think you're not going to get George's support here on the boycott.
Or my daughter, or our 30-year-old friends, you know, that have kids. We aren't sheep to be fed their secular liberal agenda, Liberty. And that's why Trump got elected, Liberty, because we're sick and tired of him cramming his
There could have been some economic factors there. But no, George, I understand your feelings are sincere, and let's face it, I mean, I don't think you're going to be reconciled on this. So I appreciate the call, and there you have it. Liberty, I think you're not going to get George. You're probably not going to get a lot of people, Liberty, I'm sorry, on this whole question.
And that's quite all right. If I can just point out, though, I totally understand the frustration. The liberal agenda is being pushed, but I think the most effective way for Christians who are concerned to go about it is to simply by living out their faith and spreading the gospel, spark up a conversation with someone who might disagree with you and talk about these issues. And if we can change culture, eventually entertainment will reflect that. But we can't change culture from a corporate down level.
Boycotting the product. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, I think if you boycott a product, I mean, you have every right to do that. And if you don't want to support it, that is totally fine. But that's not going to change people's hearts. And so, the culture, you know, maybe in the future Disney won't include a
character. Oh, I see. And so really,
victory.
In terms of George,
but the issue is the heart
changing
issue
the hearts of people who advocate for. I don't know if they're celebrating. The gay characters, but certainly acknowledging that gay people exist. I don't think George wants that to be done. I think he wants gays to be in the closet, which they were for a long time, or if not, go into therapy. So, I mean, you know, most of the country wouldn't be with George, I don't think, anymore in the polling. But, you know, let's face it, George and his friends of his belief system is a very strong core population or not go to the movie. So I don't know what are you arguing that for them to persuade those who are more tolerant to change to be the way they are, that should be nicer?
And I don't know about George's personal beliefs.
No, he's a social conservative. I mean, he doesn't like it.
Right. So I'm coming at this from a Christian perspective also, of thinking that you can't really change culture and the way people behave and the things that they engage in unless their heart is changed. And so unless it comes down to sharing the gospel with my neighbor. And I don't think I'm going to be able to effectively do that.
Well, George keeps reciting Romans chapter 1, Liberty, over and over again. He wants to. They seem to be, well, George and others do spend more time on this particular sin than the others.
It's definitely a big issue, and I think that, you know, it needs to be addressed, with compassion and with the truth that we find in God's Word. If you're a believer, and if you're not, and you just don't like it, that's totally fine. Don't watch Beauty and the Beast. Don't show your kids those movies. But my only argument is that, you know, Disney has had a lot of problems in the past.
Right. Well, it kind of reminds me of those second grade posters that I covered in news. You know, those Sarah Has Two Mommies posters. There was a big controversy, and the parents came, and the advocates were there, and they argued. And my point was, why was sexuality discussed in second grade? I mean, how old are we when we start discussing and learning about sexuality? Aren't we at least 12 or 13? I kind of lost track.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And, you know, in the schoolroom, you have kids of all kinds of different religious beliefs in there. And I think it's a little bit different because it's not really like, I mean, you could pull your kid out of school, I guess. But for a lot of parents, it's not an option where they go to school and where they go to school.
Well, it's a marketing thing. You're right. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think, and that's kind of the point I make, too. You know, why not make more movies where the characters are focused on familial Frozen, or adventures and building the virtues of courage and honesty,
No, good point, but in terms of the boycott issue, and you say you're a more tolerant Christian, what, I mean, why do you care whether people go to the movie or not, I guess is the question. Do you think they're inspiring hatred and division and anti-gay intolerance?
I wouldn't say that. I just wanted to point out that, you know, a lot of people, you know, are saying, oh, you know, Disney, this, he's rolling over in his grave, and this is not like the Disney company that we knew. And I just wanted to point out that actually I think Disney has been sexualizing their characters for a long time, obviously in a different way.
Yes, yes.
But they're just continuing to do that same thing.
No, I understand.
They're continuing to
You'd rather get away from the sexuality in the first place, is your point, right?
That's what, yeah, wow. I think that's more healthy for kids anyway. When I was little, I didn't want to watch about romance. If I was little today, I still wouldn't. I just wanted to watch
a Sunday. Don't get me confused. Yeah, exactly. I think it was The Graduate that got me confused. No, I'm kidding. But, hey, listen, thank you so much, Liberty McCarter. Controversial, thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it very much.
Well, thanks for having me.
The stream, by the way, how do you find that website? What is your website?
It's just stream.org, and this article is up on the front page, so if anyone wants to read it, feel free to go to stream.org.
Okay, the stream.org. Thank you very much, Liberty McCarter. We appreciate it. Some closing thoughts on this in a memento on the Mitch Hanks Show at MadisonTalks.com.
This is the news. This morning, we are saluting the 2.2 million women who have joined in the war effort. They now make up 37% of the workforce, changing their role forever.
The prestigious Harvard Medical School is breaking ground today, opening its doors to new female applicants.
Today, little girls all over the world look to the sky, where the first woman is now in space.
Military stereotypes are challenged today with the trailblazing promotion of a U.S. female officer to four-star general. It was just announced that the vast majority of last year's doctorate degrees were earned by women.
We've come so far, but our news is changing for the worse. More women die from heart disease and stroke than men, even though it can be prevented. Make a change at GoRedForWomen.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the American Heart Association's Go Red for Women.
Good research will make you wiser and more successful. If you operate a business, create a product, or provide a service, what don't you know that your customers know? There are multiple answers to that question that will help you realize greater success. Troy Research is a consumer opinion market research company that finds answers to important questions. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884, or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is a thing that you want to think of. It should be at least the third thing that pops into your mind. MadisonComedy.com is where you can go to find our complete schedule. Any comics that you could think of, we've had.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State. MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Are you a veteran returning from Afghanistan or Iraq and struggling with significant readjustment issues? If you're dealing with the effects of trauma or alcohol or drug abuse, facing marriage difficulties, or wanting to rebuild ties with your children, Peninsula Counseling Center can help and can restore hope to your life. Associate Director Lois Goldsmith.
Our programs have proven to make a significant difference in restoring new meaning and satisfaction in their lives.
Counselors use a remarkable therapy called EMDR that has been demonstrated to be an effective and rapid means for healing post-traumatic stress disorder.
Research indicates that the use of this specialized treatment technique can help those suffering experience significant relief in a relatively short period of time.
Call them at 516-569-6600 to schedule an appointment. If you're not covered by insurance, services will be free.
Hey, I'm going out to buy those shelves for the closet.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
Honey, I love you, but 800 more flowers? You'll give the neighbors a real reason to think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright a bulb is.
Our 60-watt bulbs give off about 800 lumens. We can replace them with new 800 lumen bulbs. Bulbs just as bright that use much less energy.
So, we'll save money.
Yes, and we can use that money to increase my allowance.
Right. Wise guy.
Worth a try.
So, you got that?
Got it. No tulips, no watts, 800 lumens, and more savings.
He got it.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov. That's energysavers.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Energy.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
You know, I wonder what the thinking on... Now, the group, actually, the woman I said on Liberty McCarter claims she's a Christian, and the stream is advocates Christian thoughts on the website, right, Mike? You were taking a look at that. And they must say, well, you're going to do more harm than good. They must be doing this as a like a political marketing type thing. Because back in the day, back when people were still very awkward, more awkward socially about homosexuality 40 years ago, but when Anita Bryant came along, and Anita Bryant would take on gays and take on gayness and say it's wrong, and people throw pies in her face and all this kind of stuff. But people turned against Anita Bryant. It's like, well, because everybody knew somebody at work or in the family who was gay, and you know, people felt the need to stand up for their friend or family member who was gay. And so you had, it's probably similar to what we have in California with Latinos. We had Prop 187, which Republican Governor Pete Wilson signed, which would have denied benefits to illegals or undocumented. And so ever since that happened, California has been a Democratic state. So, I mean, he probably drove Republican Latinos and Hispanic voters to, I mean, Democrats to Republicans to Democratic votes. I mean, who knows? But I guess her point is this, and it's a marketing point, that by boycotting and by being outspoken like George was, you're going to hurt the cause. I mean, you will hurt the cause. You will rally people to go to the movie to spite you. You know, Bill Clinton, the same idea. Bill Clinton was never above 60% in public approval ratings until after the Monica scandal. I mean, never. He didn't get to 60 until after Monica. So people who were feeling maybe some second thoughts about their own lives maybe just raced to Bill at that point in the polls. I mean, there were actually attempts early on, like Byron Dorgan of North Dakota, Democrat, was going to march to the White House and ask Bill Clinton to resign. In the early days of that, there were Democrats you talked to on the street, oh, he should resign. The way they marched in to tell Nixon to resign back in that last Saturday before the Judiciary Committee did its thing, and Barry Goldwater and various people said, it's time for you to go, yeah. But that didn't happen with Clinton because he kept going up in the polls. Every time they do something, he'd go up in the polls. But here, same thing. Could you have an Anita Bryant thing? So the question is, if you're a conservative Christian who doesn't believe that it's right to in any way empower or empower the act of homosexuality, do you just quietly not go? You quietly stay home? Or if you were loudly out there protesting and leading a boycott, do you not help ticket sales and do you not help the people you're trying to reach? Well, I think that's a good question. It really is. I mean, you're not going to stop somebody from being gay by shouting at them. You're really not. I mean, good luck anyway in that, but you'd have to have the person who's gay actually want to hear your argument, I guess, which may not be easy to find. But you're not going to get them to listen to you.
Likely reinforce their values.
Well, I was going to say, you'll drive them further away. So it's really a interesting social and political question. Not so much that you have to compromise your principles or your religious beliefs. It's just how you go about the business of persuading someone else to change. And we have 2 minutes on the way back. You can wait on that if you want. On the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. I don't know if you've noticed, but we got a lot of food in this country. We got so much food that we can't even eat it all. So if we got all this extra food, how are 17 million kids in America struggling with hunger? I just don't get it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to the hungry kids who need it. This isn't complicated. We got extra food and we got hungry kids. Feeding America's done the math. Now it's your turn. Support Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. I know you got internet on your phone, so what are you waiting for? We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Mitch Hanks Show. Once again, here's the voice of uncommon sense, Mitch Hanks.
Short tether, but on that marketing point, George wanted to do a rejoinder. Hello again, George.
Well, Mitch, you know, we've been very sad and we didn't get to talk about Robert Osborne, the great host.
Turner Classics died.
He started with TCM in 94. Mm. He just did a great hosting. I loved the guy. My goal was to meet him at the TCM Cruise or Festival, and now he's passed away a couple of days ago. But
now,
are you aware of his... never knew.
Oh, you're...
Well,
sexuality.
He never knew. But now his partner is coming out, David Stoller, who's a theater guy in New York. They were together 20-some years. And I mean, but I've told you, my aunt, people that don't just come out and force it
forcing it. If they talk to each other and they admit it, I mean, how are they forcing it, for God? I mean, see, that's... I don't think she had to be gagged. I don't think Robert should have to live in the closet and never acknowledge his partner. What's the deal? You want to live in this imprisonment? It's kind of like being in solitary. I don't go for that, George.
Well, that's a good point, but that's a good point, but I don't like it because it's little kids.
Well, there's a difference between, he's not going around saying, you should be gay too. I mean, come on, give me a break. Just because he acknowledges his partner, hey, my partner made a great souffle last night. Well, so people are offended, they go to human resources, give me a break.
No, you're right.
But we can settle, we can agree on these things, and I promise I won't hold your hand. Well, thank you so much, George. Take care. All right. We thank Bob Keller of the Keller Real Estate Group for the space here on West Washington Avenue. He's got space for you to check out. 1, 2, 3-bedroom apartment studios. You know it. Washington Court, Tuscan Place, West Side. You've got senior homes and so much more. Whitcomb Square. Just go to kellerapartments.com. That's kellerapartments.com. Thank you, Mike Brockeveld. We've got Bob Abella, the wide world of radio next. Classic radio for the 30s and 40s next. We'll see you tomorrow, folks, on MadisonTalks.com.